Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host, your very happy host for a variety of reasons, one of which stands above the others, and I'll tell you about it in a second, but it's Jesus Week. And every program we're doing this week is about Jesus as we approach the Feast of Christ the King. This Sunday, we're getting ready to head into the Advent season, and a perfect time to reflect on our Lord and Savior under various titles and aspects and topics related to him this week. And today we'll do two. We'll do the first hour. We're going to talk about friendship with Jesus. And this is something that you want, friendship with Jesus. You definitely want this, whether you know it or not. You want friendship with Jesus. In the second hour, we'll talk about what it means, a little more theological in the second hour. What does it mean that Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God? And so a wonderful show for you. Second hour, Father McTague with us of Ignatius Press fame, wrote the new book on real philosophy for real people. But here's the thing that I'm so happy about today. I don't know how long it's been since we have had him here with us, but Father Hugh Barber is back to do live radio with us. Father Hugh Barber, welcome back.
Happy to be here. I was here, but for podcasts.
Yeah, we've been podcasting together, right, but we haven't gotten you to stay late enough for live radio until we said we're doing a whole week on Jesus, and then we could get you here.
It's irresistible. Yeah.
That is irresistible, right. We gave you the irresistible topic. So, Father, we're going to talk this hour about friendship with Jesus. People can call with their questions about becoming and maintaining being friends with Jesus, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Okay, is this really a Catholic thing, or is this more Protestant being friends with Jesus?
Well, the author and founder of the Catholic religion is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, Father.
And on the night before he suffered, at the Last Supper, he gave his new commandment. Very importantly, he instituted the sacrament of his love. And he said, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because I've revealed to you everything I have been told by my Father. Okay? So it is he who made this solemn pronouncement at the most solemn moment that we are no longer just his servants, but his friends. Now we're his creatures already, then his servants, but now his friends. Now this is a particularly important affirmation on the Lord's part, and it certainly has nothing to do with any kind of, I wouldn't even know why someone would think that was Protestant. How would you ever get that
idea?
Well,
there's this kind of, I guess the idea of personal relationship with Jesus and friendship with Jesus.
Gee.
What
about, I mean, come on, look at the Catholic saints.
I know that I was being slightly facetious in asking you that, Father, but there's sometimes there's a little bit of resistance to this aspect of our Christian faith in favor of the more liturgical.
Okay, but that's different. That's a more masculine aspect of things, namely that two men can have a friendship, a very deep friendship. But when they meet others, they don't look at each other with goo-goo eyes and say, we're friends, you know? They may not feel the need to do that,
right?
Even though it's evident that they are.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
They do all kinds of things together. And so I think that it's not so much the notion that Jesus is our friend, but the manner in which that's expressed, the sort of, if it's cloying or silly or sounds needy. Right. And true friendship doesn't require to be bolstered by that kind of thing. So I would imagine that's where you took that from, because the friendship with Jesus is the privileged concept. It's the highest, because a friend, by definition, is an equal.
That's the thing. It's
an equal. It's this indication that we are made, and friend, and it's harder in English because friend, although it does come from root, which means someone who's beloved, but it's more clear in Latin, amicus means someone you love.
Yeah.
Amicus, amica, comes from amo, amare. So that love for him, which we have, is in point of fact the essence of our religion and the love he has for us. And that is exactly friendship. And so it's basically everything we believe. And in fact, It includes any question you could possibly ask today, even if it's not on the topic.
Okay.
Because everything has to do with our friendship with Jesus Christ. So feel free to ask whatever thing you want to ask that you could ask of a priest, because it's all about friendship with Jesus.
And the number you can call is 888-318-7884. Well, let me ask you about that friendship thing, though, because there is a certain way in which I think we're all aware that we are under God's judgment. And there is this, a way in which our life here on this earth is a preparation for his judgment of us. It's hard to be friends with the person who is your judge.
Well, why don't you say better is that it's easy to be judged by someone who's your friend.
Okay,
I think you
Father.
Have to change the terms. For heaven's sakes,
yeah, okay.
This is the person that created you, who knows you through and through, every nook and cranny, and loves everything about what he's created.
Yeah.
And he is going to give you a judgment which will be supremely merciful and respectful of his own work.
In you.
But, right.
But I guess my sense is we have a tendency to make our relationship with Jesus one of, I don't want to mess this up, rather than this person is my best friend. This person is my closest friend.
Well, why don't we say that he's so good that I can't mess it up.
I like this. I like this. I'm so happy to have you back. I'm feeling better about everything.
You'd have to be deliberately malicious to mess it up. You'd have to say, and I wouldn't even say it, you'd have to say, not I love Jesus, but I something else, Jesus. That's the only thing you could do. You'd have to become like a devil, you know, basically, because that's what a persistent and deliberate and persevered in mortal sin can lead you to, such a love for created things that we no longer love the God who gave them to us for our use or enjoyment and our benefit. And that's always a possibility, but let's just say the odds are overwhelmingly in our favor if we fly to the Lord.
Yeah.
All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his promise. That's what it says.
Yeah.
St. Paul says that.
Right.
And then our Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and find thy burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He is eager to save us. And as St. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, he already was saving us before we existed, before we ever committed our first little nasty infantile sin, whatever it was, you know, when we first were able to show some bad will, and it can happen various times. St. Augustine analyzes that very carefully in his Confessions. All the way to the sins of our youth, our young adulthood, our middle age, our old age, all the way to the end, the Lord suffered for us before we ever did any of that.
Yeah.
So he's ready to go the distance because his friendship is so perfect. As the psalmist says, his mercy, his love endures forever. Right? He is there. He's already done what is necessary to heal us of the sins we've committed. And although it wouldn't be theologically precise to say, well, I can commit the sin because our Lord has already suffered for it, that would be presumption.
Sure, right.
But the fact is that the Lord did suffer for us beforehand, and that's a clearest sign of friendship, that he's not going to give up on us.
So I think I was speaking for the person who feels a certain fear of leaping into friendship with Jesus. But what about the person who feels frustrated, like, I would like to be friends with Jesus. I don't feel any friendship with Jesus. What do you say to that person? Not afraid of the friendship, desirous of it, but still feels distant from Jesus.
Well, remember that friendship is a form of love. And so what we need there is just that the person should pray persistently for the possession of the holy love of God and of a true love of God, to become his friend and to ask for that grace. And that will be especially effective because that's a prayer which God must answer. And so that's a very powerful thing. So we have to begin to pray for that. And of course, even asking or desiring the love of God already shows that we love him. And it may be that our Lord wants our love to be pure in that way that we are loving him even without much consolation.
Okay.
Because all friendships, you know, they can have certain periods where there's not a lot of consolation or there's some feeling of separation or whatever. But the fact is he wants to lift us up to a level He suffered for us, and he suffered pain, not just indifference or lack of feeling, but pain for our sakes, and yet loved us even so. And so we can certainly make a return and just ask for his holy love. I mean, it's a gift. There's nothing else. It's the love of God, as St. Paul says, is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. But this love actually gives us a share in the divine nature, so we are raised up to the level of equals with Christ, sharers in his divine nature. That is, that when we're in heaven as his true friends, we'll know God as God knows God and love God as God loves God. We'll be part of that communion of love in the Holy Trinity through Christ. Now, that's something incomparable that's beyond our comprehension, but it's right there.
Before we go to the break and then come back and do calls, by the way, the number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about friendship with Jesus this hour with our good friend, Father Hugh Barber, who we've missed on live radio. What about the person who's ashamed, who says, I'm sorry. There's things, maybe there's just parts of myself that I don't feel that I can change, that I have habitually, I'm a sinner in this way or that way. And friendship with Jesus is for someone else, not for a person like me.
Well, there, you know, the question of shame is a very interesting one, because although guilt entails recognizing that we've done something wrong, shame is not usually not a helpful emotion, because it means that somehow not only you've done something wrong, but you are wrong. There's something fundamentally wrong with me, and I'm unworthy of someone's respect or affection. And in the case of our Lord, we should be sure that we're not projecting onto him the type of shame we've felt with regard to others, which has just become part of our personality ever since. Jesus is the friend with whom we can be completely free. We can say to him whatever we want. He'll understand. He can take it. We can offer to him our prayers, and we can complain to him of our difficulties. But he is not, he said he has come to save the world and not to judge it. And that the judgment comes at the end, but then by then it'll all be resolved. We won't have any worries about these things. But our Lord doesn't seek to shame us. He seeks to heal us in an encounter of great love, which might involve some correction, but correction which is done so lovingly that you might say, on an analogy with our culture, it would be like a coach showing you how to do something right instead of how doing something wrong.
Right, right.
You know, you really do want to correct it, and you're not that ashamed because you just really want the correction he's offering.
Yeah.
And so with our Lord, it's like that. He lovingly wants us to share in the knowledge and wisdom that he has, and so we should be very free in showing him our wounds and our defects, because in point of fact, he knows them already.
Yeah.
He's already suffered for them. So, but the shame thing, that's a good time to analyze how much shame has harmed your life in general. Mm-hmm. And to say, it might have harmed my life with my family and friends and whatnot, and is hindering me from acting as sincerely or as freely or as, you know, honestly as I could, because I'm afraid of what other people are going to say. But we can say, if all that's true, I'm not going to let it affect my relationship with Jesus. And eventually, I'm not going to let it affect my relationship with others, so that I can eventually begin to be myself and not be ashamed of anything, just be intent on loving God and neighbor. And with the past, just let that go and trust in Jesus. There's no other way.
No,
it's
common
sense.
What else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do? Change the past?
But though, I guess probably the temptation is, I'll get to that later, though. When I, you know, that's always the, and I do think that's part of the advice that the saints give us. Just get to it now. Just
right,
turn
just
now. To, yeah. Why are you, what are you waiting for? Turn now. Our number, 888-318-7884. An entire week of programs, both on Catholic Answers Focus and Catholic Answers Live, dedicated to Jesus as we prepare for the Feast of Christ the King. And we have to talk about friendship with Jesus, a very great friend to all of us here at Catholic Answers, our former chaplain and the former prior of St. Michael's Abbey, Father Hugh Barber. How's your friendship with Jesus going? Would you like some help or advice, or would you have a question about that? You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. It's all about friendship with Jesus this hour.
I think I'm going to take out my phone and call myself.
Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's better than Shark Week. It really is. It's better than Shark Week. It's Jesus Week here at Catholic Answers as we prepare for the Feast of Christ the King. And, part of this, the whole germ for this comes from the idea that we were going to do a conference completely dedicated to considerations of Jesus, in which people were going to give a variety of different talks and all that. And that didn't happen. And then the idea hit us, well, we do have a radio program. We can do an entire week of programs about Jesus. And I have to tell you, Father, too, there's also a sense that, I mean, part of our desire just to not talk about anything else, just talk about Jesus for a whole week, is it's been a tough year. I think people, we need to get, like, if there's one thing you can get back to, it's the Lord. It's always, it's never, that's never going to be the wrong choice. So we're back to basics, so to speak, here this week. Our number is 888-318-7884. If you have questions about friendship with Jesus, you are welcome to call. Among the medieval saints, Bernard of Clairvaux. Here's a guy, Bernard of Clairvaux, who's probably the great man of his age. I mean, sure. in many ways.
12th century, sure.
And who did so much to bring thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people to Christ in his life. But when you read his biographies, he spoke to Christ as a friend. He always strikes me, when we talk about, the reason I'm mentioning him is he always strikes me as the exemplar of friendship with Christ, because he worshiped Christ as the Lord. He contemplated Christ his whole life, but he spoke to him in a very familiar way. And the thing about, I mean, he's Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. Jesus spoke back to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, well, that's particularly revealed in the piety of the High Middle Ages, but also with Anselm and before. But it's that close relationship with Jesus, and particularly emphasis on the use of his name in prayer. That was very important for Saint Bernard, and also for later parts of the tradition. But no, it's all right there. The medieval mystics don't have anything on any forms of emotional Christianity. Those forms don't have anything on the mystics. They are as expressive and as vehement as you could possibly imagine.
Right.
So much so that I wouldn't even necessarily repeat some of their effusions on the radio.
It gets a bit much.
Right. But there it is. And that kind of close relationship with the Lord, that friendship, is what these saints enjoyed and which was prized by the faithful. They loved to read of these things and to know of them.
Yeah.
The identification of these saints with our Lord in his passion, his infancy, with the Blessed Mother and her maternity, and all these things, they're the field, you might say, in which we discover all the different reasons for loving Jesus. And they have to do with his love for us always. And so we're always discovering his love for us whenever we look into any aspect of his life. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the way it should be, ideally, with our own friendships and marriage and natural friendships, that the person's goodness is revealed and the friendship is strengthened by the consideration of all those aspects.
Yeah. And this is probably a benefit that for Bernard, too, is because he was a person who was able to be a very good friend to other people. He constantly was befriending people.
Yeah. And he was a very good enemy, too.
Well, yeah.
If you thought you were wrong and you were hurting the church, he would go after you.
He preached one of the Crusades.
Right,
it was Second Crusade,
right,
I think?
Right,
I can't remember.
Crusades were a big deal for
me. Let's go to Pete in Oklahoma, listening on 94.9 FM. Pete, delighted to have you as our first caller as we discuss friendship with Jesus with Father Hugh Barber. Go ahead, Pete, with your question.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Pete. Hey.
So, how are you guys doing this evening?
We're happy. How are you?
talking about Jesus.
Thanks be to God.
Probably doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yes.
So, be quiet, honey. We're struggling with some friends that I'm
people
helping
always,
with RCIA.
People always
and Maddie, just 1 second, honey. They're struggling with understanding that the God of the Old Testament has the same love as the God of the New Testament. They're constantly falling into this. There's a difference between the two, and I know it's a heresy, and I know it's already been legislated by the doctors of the church, and I just don't really have the education on how to deal with that response from them about the difference between the two, and I'm just looking for a little counsel.
Great. Well, it's the answer is fairly simple, and that is that, you know, the Gospels that we believe don't make any sense unless you have the Old Testament. The Old Testament was the Bible of the early church and the Bible used by our Lord in preaching the new covenant. And I would say just give them examples from the Old Testament of the characterization of God's love and tender care and concern for sinners, like the 23rd Psalm, for example, is a very well-known example there, or the different stories of God's liberation of his people from evil. That, as you say, that's an old heresy to distinguish the God of the Old and the New Testament. It comes in different forms. That's kind of the form that Luther used where, you know, anything that's law or obligation or punishment, that's like the old covenant, and anything which is freedom and grace is the new covenant. Whereas grace and freedom and law are working through both, but it's perfected in Jesus Christ. But if, in a certain sense, if you want to say, well, who was punished more, received a more savage punishment from the justice of God other than Jesus Christ? And yet that's the center of the New Testament. So when you say, well, we don't believe in the God of justice or punishment, well, maybe we don't have to emphasize it as much because our Lord, as they like to say, paid the price.
Right.
He endured all this for us, the onslaught of the punishment due to the sins of the human race. And so, and he accepted that from his Father lovingly because he was his Son, and this is very important. And so I think the thing that the New Testament adds to the Old Testament is this conviction that if we suffer because of God's will that we suffer, and this can happen, then, in fact, it does happen necessarily and will happen, that it's we are told to suffer as sons and daughters, as or even as co-workers with Christ in the redemption of the world. As St. Paul says, I bear in my body and make up for what is lacking the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his church. That is, we share in our Lord's sufferings along with him out of love. And that motivation, sonship, being sharing the divine nature and not simply being in respectful submission to God as his creature, is one aspect that the New Testament offers that the New Testament, that the Old Testament doesn't have in as much abundance, although it does have it. So I think that's one line of emphasis. The New Testament emphasizes our loving identity with God by sharing of his divine life by grace. And that's where we're a little different from the Old Testament. But it's the same God, the same moral laws. The only laws that really changed were the ceremonial ones. The sacraments of the old law and the new law are different. And then certain laws of behavior that our Lord came to teach us, particularly his new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. That's something they couldn't have taught in the Old Testament because Christ had not yet died. And God had not yet become man for us. But you just have to fight against that. It's one of the oldest heresies in the world from the beginning, this tendency to want to distinguish starkly between the God of the Old and New Testament. They are one and the same.
Yeah. Christ repeatedly asked what's the most important commandments several times, and it's always the commandments of love.
Love of God.
That are expressed themselves repeatedly in the Hebrew scriptures.
Yeah,
that
right.
Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love. It's a religion of love.
Right. Precisely.
Properly understood.
And when our Lord criticized the old law, it wasn't the old law itself, never. He criticized the traditions that had been built up that were built up in order to keep people from even coming close to breaking any of the laws of the Torah. So they had tons of other precepts in order to keep them far away from any breaking of those laws, like they have now with the double kitchens and these things. And so, our Lord railed against those, but he never railed against the Torah, ever.
Never, no. Never. Just against those who kept others from entering and would not enter themselves.
Right.
Because they had so many things to fuss about.
Right.
Father, thank you for affirming my theological language, Father. Hugh Barber is our guest and our friend, and we're talking about friendship this hour, the greatest possible friendship, the friendship you want to get really deeply involved in, friendship with Jesus our Lord. We'll talk more about it when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Why is it wrong to help someone commit suicide? Don't people have a right to die with dignity rather than being a burden to others? Does the Church teach that the terminally ill must be kept alive by machines for as long as possible? In 20 Answers End-of-Life Issues, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you unravel the controversies and confusions surrounding euthanasia, assisted suicide, and the rights of patients in our uncertain healthcare future. 20 Answers End of Life Issues is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy. Or worse, a wicked lie invented by the Church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
This is Dr. David Anders. Is God an angry God?
We answer questions like these every day on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
It is a remarkably short list of people that makes us happier when he darkens our door, Father Hugh Barber. I can only think of one person that makes us happier than Father Hugh Barber coming here, the ice cream man. Other than that, it's Father Hugh's number one. When you say, Nick? Yeah.
Can you hear the bells?
Okay. If I hear the ice cream man, I'm out of here. Let me tell you that right now. Just finish the show without me.
Do they still have those?
They have ice cream man. Yeah, we have one in my neighborhood.
Oh, really? Yeah. It was when we were kids.
Helados.
We would run out of the door.
Oh, I know. Just run over each other.
Right.
To get to the ice cream man.
It's a total liability nightmare. You know, you just run around right in front of the truck and your parents were forced to let you buy something because it comes around.
Did they give you a dime? That's what it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, they're cheap. A Nutty Buddy, it's like 10 cents.
888-318-7884 is our number. Father Hugh Barber is our guest. And our topic all week is Jesus our Lord. It is Jesus Week here at Catholic Answers. And I told Father I'm being somewhat circumspect in saying the name of Jesus because he bows his head every time I say it. And I don't want to wear him out between now and the end of the show. But that's how you Norbertines are.
Some of us, anyway. Yeah. But I mean, every time is just a little, something. So okay,
it's a good thing.
It does
to
me good.
Remind yourself of who he is.
Yeah,
just remember who he is.
Right.
Because I think you're probably aware of this, Father. But every knee shall bend.
Right.
And so you might as well get started now.
Right. At least with your neck.
At least with your neck. JD in Kansas, a question about friendship with Jesus our Lord, listening on 93.7 FM. JD, thanks so much for your call. Your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Yep. Hey, JD.
How are you today?
Fine. God bless.
My wife and I have shared an adoration hour for probably 2 or 3 years, maybe more now. I can't really remember. But especially in the last probably 6 or 8 months, I feel like I don't have a very good connection with God when I'm in adoration. And I guess I'm just looking for advice or some pointers on what I can do in adoration to get a stronger connection. Like a lot of the times I feel like I'm just killing an hour in there. And it's not like that every time. Like I really try hard to develop this connection. And, sometimes it happens, but most of the time I feel like it doesn't. And, I want to use that hour to strengthen my friendship with God while I'm there. And I guess I don't know how to do it very well.
Well, it's a very good question. And your experience is like that of so many other people. I think everyone has had the same kind of experience that you're talking about. And I would say what's particularly helpful is to plan a little beforehand. For example, to have something with you that can focus your attention, something printed up, you know, either in a prayer book or that you get from the internet or something. But I'm thinking particularly of short thoughts or invocations that will give you an insight into who Jesus is in the Blessed Sacrament before you. And there he is in the host, and it almost implies the need to focus on him, because there's the Lorraine host there in the center of the room, you might say. And so what I recommend is to take, have you heard of the litanies of the Sacred Heart or of the Precious Blood of Jesus?
No.
You haven't heard? Okay. Well, just take that down, litany, L-I-T-A-N-Y, okay. If you can, if you're driving, I don't know if you're driving or not. Litany of the Sacred Heart, and then, or Litany of the Precious Blood, that's another one. And then just take a look at it and just go down the different names for Jesus, or the Litany of the Holy Name, that's another one, the Holy Name, that's a particularly helpful one. In fact, that I'd recommend that the most, probably, Litany of the Holy Name of Jesus. You can find that online or in a Catholic prayer book. And it gives so many names for Jesus that as you go over them quietly, you don't have to pray the litany just as a prayer, but just go over the names of Jesus in there, things will strike your heart about who Jesus is as you go over that. Some things you won't necessarily get, and other things will really make sense to you or shed a little light. Because I think the names for Jesus that are found there in those litanies are very helpful. They all come from the Sacred Scriptures. They're taken from different places, and they connect us with different aspects of our Lord's person and his personality. And so I really strongly recommend that. It's a very simple thing to do. Just take Litany of the Holy Name, or Litany of the Sacred Heart, or Litany of the Precious Blood, L-I-T-A-N-Y, and just take a look at, just go down that. And as you're looking at the host, just think of that, Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father, or Jesus, Most Patient, or Jesus, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, that's in the Sacred Heart Novena, or Blood of Jesus Shed Profusely in the Scourging. All these things are brought before our minds, and they'll help us to focus our attention, because we're easily distracted, and so we need a little bit of help to keep our mind on track. But when we go to those sources, it can be particularly helpful. That's one big suggestion, but a simple one. Another one is just simply to open up the Bible to the Book of Psalms and just take some of the Psalms from the Bible, starting in the beginning or opening up any place in particular, and see how those prayers which our Lord prayed while he was on earth resonate in your heart as you kneel before him or sit before him in the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
Yes, sir.
I hope so. I'm praying for you and your wife. How lovely, yes, you make your adoration together.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we actually switch out. Like, she'll go one week and I'll go. We've got three little kids, so somebody can ride with them, and it's at 10 at night.
They're fortunate little kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thanks, JD.
Okay, God bless, JD.
You bet. Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. 888-318-7884, our number, 888-318-7884. We're talking about friendship with Jesus this hour. If you have a question about becoming a friend or deepening your friendship or maybe helping others to come to friendship with Jesus, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Let's go to Ashley in Iowa, listening on 88.1 FM. Ashley, thanks so much for your call. Your question, please, for Father Hugh Barber.
Hello,
Hi,
Ashley.
Hi, Father. Yes, thank you. I was wondering how, in my relationship with Jesus, how he balances discipline with grace, and that he, you know, our relationship is, amongst any of my friendships, as he disciplines me. So a lot of my Protestant friends, I feel, don't go to him for permission. Like, I go to him for permission because I don't have that mindset of once saved, always saved. And so I go to him for permission. And when he says no, I have to accept that. Whereas I feel that they just go to him for forgiveness and don't ask for permission because... Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the famous saying, I've heard it many times in some shocking contexts, it's better to... ask forgiveness than it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. Yeah, yeah, that's used a lot. I think that it's a very, very good question you ask, and a beautiful one, because it gives me the opportunity to point out that with our Lord, the difference between discipline and mercy or grace is nil practically for him. In the Apocalypse, in the Book of Revelation, it says, our Lord says, those whom I love, I rebuke and chastise. And right in that context, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if anyone open to me. And so, you consider that any kind of discipline that we have from the Lord, telling us what to do or what not to do, or any sort of correction or punishment that we receive, is only meant to free us to be able to love him truly. That is... He knocks on the door of our hearts, and then we let him in, and then he does what he needs to do with our souls, and that's a work of great love. So, as he says, those whom I love, I rebuke and chastise. If we were once saved, always saved, why would he need to do that? Why would he need to rebuke and chastise us if it were already absolutely certain? No. Our Lord strives to perfect us and to protect us, because his disciplining us is to protect us from evil. It's not so much a punishment as it is a protection from future evils, just as with our own kids. So, but also we Catholics tend not to distinguish too much between the discipline of God and his mercy or grace, especially in the writings of the saints. They kind of come together because they focus so deeply on the mystery of the cross and our Lord Jesus' experience of it. And that's both the greatest work of God's mercy and yet the greatest and most difficult example of his infliction of a punishment. But that's all done out of love for us. So it's all right there. You know, our Lord drinking from that chalice was for love of us. So,
Ashley, how is that? Is that helpful to you? Did you have a...
Yeah, that is really helpful. Yes. I think it's just hard because to explain to them, because I know that discipline doesn't always feel like love. And so even as a mother, trying to, do you have any advice for as a mother to find that balance of, yes, I will forgive you for what you do, but I still seek more for you. I still seek, does that make sense? Yeah.
You want the best for
them. I'd say, you know, you can explain, look, you're misbehaving or your faults. They're information. There's something I know about you now that I can't ignore. And so I have to take into account what your weaknesses or faults are in dealing with you. And that's why I may not give you permission to do this or that once I find that that certain person or activity is dangerous for you. And so I may have to be strict, you know. But it's always, you know, I have to say, look, it's based on something I know. I can't deny the facts. And so since I love you, I am not going to knowingly let you into a situation that would be bad for you. You know, that kind of thing.
Ashley, thank you. We have to take a quick break. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Father Hugh Barber, and we're talking about friendship with Jesus this hour. Redeema in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. If you hang on just a quick minute, we'll get to you when we come back right after this.
Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His Church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Hugh Barber is our guest. It's a great gift to us. We haven't had Father Hugh on live radio with us for a long time, but it worked out today, I think because he wanted to come here and talk about Jesus. And it's Jesus Week. That's all we're talking about all week. Today, this hour, our theme is friendship with Jesus. Next hour, Father McTagg will be here, and we're going to talk about the meaning of calling Jesus the Word of God or the Logos. Or how do the fancy people say it? Logos?
Logos.
Okay, I got to work on that.
I have a story to tell you about that.
About Logos?
After the show, yeah.
Oh, it's an after the show story. Those are always good. 888-318-7884, our number here, if you'd like to ask anything at all about friendship with Jesus for yourself, for someone else, you're welcome to call. 888-318-7884. Redeema in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. I kept you waiting. Are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hello, Redeema. How old are you?
I am 9.
Well, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father Barber.
Hello.
Okay, first I'd like to say thank you for sending me the book, The Truth is Out There. And also my question is, how can we find Jesus as a friend, and how can I make sure he's alive and he lives in heaven?
Well, those questions can all be narrowed down or combined into one question, all right? And so I'm going to answer this one question. That is, if you become friends with Jesus, you're going to be sure that he's alive and in heaven. So that's already included with the friends part, because we're not friends with people that don't exist. So Jesus is your friend. How can you know or be sure that he's your friend? It's a little tricky, but this is what I'm going to tell you. First of all, look at how you treat other people around you, how you treat your family, your parents or your guardians, caregivers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, schoolmates, teachers, people in stores, wherever you are, how do you treat other people? And that is a very simple way to start. Are you loving to them? That is, are you always trying to do what's good and not to be mean or unkind or critical, not to say unkind things about them to them or behind their back, and trying to do whatever good that we can see needs to be done, even if it's only holding a door for somebody else. But basically, start with, how do I treat other people? Because our Lord says through his apostle Paul, by this men will know that you are my disciples, my followers, by the love you have for one another. So you'll know that you're a friend of Jesus if you are doing what you can to be loving, that is, to be a friend to everyone around you. Now, you can't be a friend as much with some people as with others, obviously, but our Lord told us that we would be judged by our love of our neighbor. It's right there in the Gospels. And so that's the place to start. And then when we begin in the presence of Jesus to examine our hearts and to go to confession and to confess whenever we haven't been as loving as we should, then our relationship with him, our friendship with him, is going to grow and grow and grow. And if you, dear Redeemer, start making, you probably already do, but if you start making regular confessions, like at least once a month, but as much as you want, you will find your friendship with Jesus will increase amazingly, because you'll become more like him. That's the point. We like our friends because they're like us, and if they're not like us, but we love them, we begin to like the things that they like, and so on. And so Jesus loves our neighbor as he loves us, and so when we begin to show love for our neighbor, we become like him, we become deeper friends with him, and the way to make that all happen is to be sure that you get to confession often and examine yourself on that. And then when you come to our Lord in Holy Communion, you'll be able to welcome him as your true friend who's feeding you with his very love, which is the source of the friendship. Okay?
Okay, Redeemer.
Is that making sense, Redeemer?
Thank you. You really answered my question.
Yeah, right. So be nice and go to confession.
And thank you for, you were very kind to say that about the book that we sent you. That's a book that we're very proud of here at Catholic Answers. The truth is out there. We should send her another book is what you're saying. All right, Redeemer, hang on the line, and Maria is going to talk with you. And if you have permission from who's ever there with you, we'll send you another book. Don't give out your address unless you have permission, though. 888-318-7884, our number here, 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to Anne-Marie in Billings, Montana, listening on KJCR Catholic Radio. Anne-Marie, your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, hang on.
No,
really?
Happy to.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
No, that's... You're driving.
Anyway, okay.
Okay.
So I have a question. So I have one priest that has told me that you cannot offend God. And so I'm thinking, like, when I sin and I'm hurting other people and that event and my relationship with God, and I see it as being offensive. And then another priest says, oh, yes, you are offending God. He finds sin very offensive. And I think that really does affect the understanding of that does affect my relationship and friendship with Jesus. And I just need someone to kind of clarify and why I'm getting two so different answers.
Okay.
Well, you're getting two different answers because one gave you a wrong answer and another one gave you a correct answer. Very, very simple, you know, but the fact is...
No politics there.
But maybe, no, none at all.
No.
I mean, it's just true. But the fact is, it's true that God is not offended in the same way we're offended. That is, he doesn't have a passionate reaction to offense. He doesn't get into a huff.
He doesn't have feelings that can get hurt.
Right, but that saying that is metaphysically true, but
not helpful.
Humanly misleading.
Okay,
okay? So
yeah.
We just try to avoid that.
So I won't talk anymore.
Right, right. So the fact is that, yes, God is infinitely all-powerful. There's nothing you could do to him that could make him less God than he is or less happy than he truly is. But on the other hand, because our happiness consists in the love of God and of possessing him as our true good, if we do anything that goes against the good of what he's made, you know, harms our neighbor or harms what we have been given by God in our own selves, or offends against his dignity or honor in his name or his worship, well, then we're sinning against our true good and the love of God shown in his creation. So that's a true offense. It's not an offense in the sense that we actually have taken from God anything that he didn't already have, But his main desire in our regard is that we share in the good things that he has. And so he's offended, if you will, because we refuse his gifts. And that's really what it comes to. So, and of course, it makes it easier because our Lord, as God the Son, assumed himself a human nature. So he really does and did have human feelings and did feel emotionally the effects of the sin and the hatred and the offenses that were committed against him. Because in a human nature, he did. He's like us in all things but sin, St. Paul says. And so the heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is truly offended by our sins in a way which we can understand, pierced by our sins, by the thorns of our sins. And even though in heaven right now, he's not suffering on account of our sins, the love which made him endure that suffering because he took our human nature is identical to the love he had when he died on the cross, when he suffered in the garden, when he endured the scourging and all of that. So yes, we can say, especially if you think of Jesus, that yes, our sins do offend him and have offended him because he has, as we have, a human heart, even though he's God.
Okay, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. God bless you.
Thank you. I think we can get one more. Shall we try, Father?
Sure.
Patricia in San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. You are up next. You're going to have to be kind of quick with your question, Patricia.
Okay, hi. Yes, I just want to know, is it okay to take Jesus in Mass more than, like, I guess, maybe like lunch, and was it breakfast, lunch, and then dinner, if you're fasting, so forth, in one day? Is that okay, or could I get sick like that? I am living by grace, though. So.
Yes, well, the Church's current discipline in the Roman Rite, to which you probably belong, most Catholics do, allows you to receive Holy Communion two times a day under the condition that the second communion is during Holy Mass and not outside Holy Mass, unless you're dying. That's different. So basically, yes, the simple answer is yes, you may receive communion more than one time a day. You can receive communion twice. But in both those cases, you will be observing the Church's norms for fasting, which is just only an hour before Mass. So basically that means 30 minutes before Mass begins, practically speaking.
Yeah.
Each time, but there you are. Yeah, you can receive twice. You don't have to, but if you're particularly because it should be with some kind of congruous preparation and thanksgiving in order to welcome our Lord and to pray to him, but it's certainly allowed, but it's just twice.
Patricia, thank you very much. Father, we're coming up to the end. I'm really grateful that we got to have you on live on the air again.
Happy to be here. Here I am.
In the service of Jesus Week, I really appreciate that. Would your general advice to anybody be this? I mean, I'm wondering if it was just because Redeema was 9 years old, or would anyone who said to you, I want to have friendship with Jesus, how do I do it? Would it be roughly the same that...
I'd say roughly the same, because the thing is, we immediately go to friendship with Jesus. We begin to go and think, what kind of life of devotion am I supposed to lead?
Yeah, right,
what
right.
What kinds of virtues am I supposed to perfect in myself? And so if you can just simplify it and say, well, Jesus said, whatsoever you do to the least, my brethren, you've done to me.
Yes.
And he said to Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me, when he converted him? And so obviously our relationship with Jesus, from Jesus' point of view, is very closely united, in fact, almost identical with the way we treat our neighbor. And that's a fact. That's not some liberal nonsense.
Right? No.
That's
right.
True.
It's because the Lord himself taught us
so
that.
So we could all go, I love the Tridentine Mass, I say it every day, but we could go to it every day and still be mean to people, and it wouldn't do us a lot of good.
Right.
Although it'd be better if we go anyway. But the fact is, we can have a lot of really solid ideas, but if we don't love our neighbor...
Yeah, we're missing the point.
Yeah.
We're missing the opportunity for friendship with him.
Right. He wants us to be friends.
May we have your blessing,
not
Father?
Not grouses.
Yes.
Beata Maria Virgine Intergente, cum omnium Sanctis Domini, benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maniat semper.
Amen. Thank you, Father Hugh. Father Hugh Barber, our guest. Next, Father McTagg will be here, and we're going to talk about Jesus as the Word of God. What does that mean? So a little bit more theological topic for the next, but Jesus is multifaceted. There you can spend, there's just infinite ways to look at him.